Good morning. Matthew chapter 28 this morning. If you have your copy of the Word of God, if you could turn there with me quickly. You will get two parts of a message today. The first half from myself, the second half from Pastor Kevin. We'll each try to keep it between 45 minutes apiece. We have been studying the book of Daniel over the last couple of months. And we have seen many different things going on in this man's life and around this man's life and Daniel's friends' lives, where we see them face all these different kinds of challenges. They faced death. They faced brutal torture. Been thrown in a lion's den. Daniel had all these visions of all these things to come, of the horrific things that were ahead for God's people. But Daniel always handled them very well. He always handled them with faith because Daniel, at a certain point in his life, made a decision that he was going to follow God no matter what. No matter the circumstances that went on around him, no matter what happened, no matter what he faced, no matter what threats came against him, he made a decision that he was going to follow God. It was not a conditional decision that said, well, God, I'll follow you as long as everything goes my way. Daniel made this decision at an early age, and his whole city got taken over by another country. He got taken captive and prisoner, and he went to a whole other country, hundreds of miles away from home, and here he is serving a king that is not his. And he continued to be faithful to God. And the king tried to make him do all sorts of things that were against God. And Daniel said, no way, I'm not going to do it. And he faced certain and sudden death. And he always let his faith lead him. And every time his faith led him to favor with God and man. What a great lesson for us today. And as we take a pause from our study of Daniel to begin to understand what making this decision is really all about. You see, of all the things that Daniel envisioned and all the things that God showed Daniel and all the threats and the wars and the rumors of wars and all the things that face us in our future, Jesus himself did not tell his disciples to go out and build a bunch of bomb shelters. He did not say, hey, make sure you raise up a good president that everybody can be confident in. He didn't tell him to do that. But in his final words, in his final moments with his people, with his church, as small as it was at that time, his final words to his church before he ascended to heaven was this. Let's read. Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning and just seek your wisdom from your word. God, we try so desperately to make sense of things and to understand things, and God, sometimes we even put words in your mouth. But today I pray, Lord, that we would take the simplicity of your word, the simplicity of your truth, and we would just apply it, and we would just follow it and leave the results up to you. No matter what persecution may come through it, God, no matter what doubts, no matter what fears we may have, today that each of us may respond in faith and allow you finally to take control and lead us to the purpose, to the church, and to the life that you have designed for us. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want us to look at a couple of things quickly before Pastor Kevin comes up and gives you the heart of things. I want to just kind of open this up for us a little bit and understand what this passage is telling us. Jesus tells his church before he ascends into heaven, he says, hey, this is what I want you to do. Knowing that all of this crazy stuff is coming, all the stuff that we're facing now, and all the things that we see coming, down the road for God's people, right? Of all those things coming, here's what I want you to focus on. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go out and I want you to make disciples. Because in that one command, and in following that one command, when you make disciples, you prepare my people for the things to come. Jesus said, go and make disciples. This is a command. To make disciples is a command of Christ. He tells us that this is the call of the church. So here it is. If you think that we have a secret agenda, this is it. It's not a secret. It's out there. Our goal, our purpose as God's church is simply this, to make disciples.
Amen.
What is a disciple? Is it Peter and Paul and John? Yeah. But it's also Kevin and Randy, Darlene,
right.
Michaela, Troy, and Jesse, Sammy, Gerald. It's each of us. The word disciple means follower. That's all it means. Follower. Not just a student, not just someone that's being taught by a teacher, but a follower. Okay, now I want you to kind of grab onto this. When we say, hey, I'm going to follow you, in this day and age, that don't mean very much. Because what you know what it really means when I say that I'm going to follow somebody today? It really means that I'm going to follow you until you take me as far as I want to go, and then I'm going to go another direction. I'm going to follow you to a certain point until I can get everything I can get from you, and then I'm going to move on. You see this happen every day. But see, Jesus has called us to be followers. If you read any of the Gospels in the New Testament, Jesus approached people, and he had two words for them. Follow me. Hey, you, follow me. You, follow me. Follow me. See, not only is this a command of Christ, this is a call of Christ. To be a follower of Christ is a call to him. And his call today is no different than it was when he was still roaming this earth. He is calling his people today to follow him. Not to just attend church, not to just proclaim Christianity. Let me tell you something. There is you may not think so, but there is a difference between Christian and a disciple. But see, because the Bible says that the disciples were called Christians, right? So you got to be a disciple to even be a Christian. The Bible says that the disciples were called Christians. Understand that God has called us to become disciples. What does that mean? He says that we are to be followers of Christ. So what is it saying here? It says that we are to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And it says that we are to be taught the things that he has commanded us. There's really just two parts to that. It's a long journey and it's not fun, but there's really just two parts. And we have to decide for ourselves, am I going to do it God's way or am I going to do it my way? Right. He has a plan. What is his purpose for that plan? Only time will tell us. Only when we get there will we know. Why do we ask you to be baptized? Because Jesus asked you to be baptized. Why do we ask you to attend small groups so that you can learn about God's word? Because God commanded it. He said to teach them to obey the things that I've commanded you. How do we expect to obey God's commands when we don't even know them? We have to be taught. I have to be taught. I'm not preaching to you. Look, this applies to me too. For 31 years, I thought I was a pretty good person. And I foolishly believed that if I had died at 31 years old, that I was going to be okay, that I was going to go on to heaven and everything would be all right. Because, hey, you know, I did some bad things, but overall, I was pretty good. But I had not yet submitted to God's plan for my life salvation. Discipleship is a command of Christ. Discipleship is a call of Christ. He says, follow me. And if you look at the examples of the ones that really stuck with it, you look at Matthew, you look at Peter and Andrew, right? When he approached them in the boat, he approached Peter and Andrew in the boat. He said, hey, drop your nets and follow me. Poof. Let's go. Where are you going? They left their father and all of their other servants, all the people that worked for him, they just left him behind. They said, let's go, Jesus. He approached Matthew at the tax collector's booth and said, hey, you, come follow me. Okay. And you know he had to be a rich man. He was a tax collector. But yet there was another rich man that he said, hey, you need to go sell all you have because all that money's in your way and give it to the poor and follow me. And he said, I don't think so. So here's what we need to know. Being a disciple is a command of Christ. It is a call of Christ. But being a disciple has a cost. It has a cost. See, I'm not trying to bait and switch you here and just give you all the good stuff. There's a cost to being a disciple. Let me show you. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, it says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. What that means, take up your cross, it means to die to your old self. Die to your desires, die to all the things that you need. Take up your crucified life. Crucify your way and follow Christ. There's a cost. Also in Luke 9, there was a man that says, the man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus. And Jesus said, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Following Christ has a cost. Sometimes we have to give up the luxuries of life. He said to another, follow me. In Luke 9:59-60. And the man said, but Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. See, there is a urgency.
That's right.
In following Jesus. It can't wait. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. There is an urgency. Folks, I don't know how many days are left before the return of our Savior, but there is an urgency today. There is an urgency. And I don't want to try to scare you and say, hey, you might walk out of here and get hit by a bus. Let's just not be crazy. But we need to understand that there is an urgency to the command to follow Christ. There was another man that says, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus said, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God. All strong words from Christ. See, Jesus said right there, he says, there's no such thing as a temporary follower. See, we got too many temporary followers that we follow them until we get back everything we lost. And then we decide we're getting off the boat.
It's true.
There's a cost to following Christ. There is a commitment to being a disciple of Christ. It is not a temporary commitment. It is a lifelong commitment. Yeah, I know a lot of people would say, hey, why are you telling everybody this? You're trying to talk them out of it. Not at all. This is what Jesus taught his disciples. And I believe that your faith is not so shallow that you would run away from the challenges that God has put before us to be his disciples. I don't believe that I need to dumb this down for you and I need to make this easy for you. I believe that you do have the faith. Why do I believe that you have the faith? Because our God in heaven can give you the faith right now to say, Lord, I walk away from all of it and I give my life to you. Because it'll never be of you anyway. It's always him. It's always him, and I have to hurry. Finally, I want to tell you that this is a continuing process. Being a disciple is a continuing process. It never ends. It never stops. You know, you say, well, I can't come and give my life to the Lord because my life's not perfect. Let me tell you, wherever you're at today, that's where God wants you to be. And God said that until I return, until I come back, I'm going to keep working out this process in you and making you into my disciple. I'm going to keep transforming you and working in your life, all right? So if there is a process, we agree, there's a continuing process of becoming a disciple, there has to be a beginning to that process. And I said all those other things to say this. There is a beginning to that process. You don't just arrive at the end and never start at the beginning. The beginning comes from confession. Confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And it goes on to say, it says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, he will not put to shame. So I said all that to ask you this question. Have you decided? Have you decided? Have you answered that call? Are you just attending church, learning some good biblical things, applying them to your life, and says, hey, that kind of works, and your life kind of gets better? Well, let me tell you where that ends up. That ends up in the same place had you never come to church at all. Because your good works are like filthy rags to God. God said that we must come to him, and by the blood of Christ, our sin is covered, our debt is paid only through him. But we must accept the free gift of salvation through Christ. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one can be a disciple except through Christ. It is a command. It is a call. There's a cost. It is a continuing process. And it begins with your confessing him as Savior. Jesus said, whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father in heaven. But for whoever professes me before men, I will profess him before my Father in heaven. See, there's a place where this process starts, and it starts with you making a decision to say, Lord, not my way, not the way I want it to be. I'm going to follow your way. If that's you this morning, I want to help you by leading you in this prayer. You're welcome to say it the same way I say it to yourself. You're welcome to put it in your own words. But pray a prayer like this. If you're ready today to make that commitment, confess Jesus as Lord and ask him into your life. Turn it all over to him. Pray this prayer with me. Let's bow. Father, I come today confessing myself a sinner. I desperately need your forgiveness and your salvation. I believe your son died for me and that he rose again and that one day he will return to bring me home. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of my wrongdoing and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to know that's the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. This is not a joking matter that Jesus takes for granted. There's nothing magical about that prayer, but it's your faith in Jesus Christ that brings you to this point of salvation. When you ask Christ into your life, he forgives you all your sins. Those in the past, everything that you've ever done in all your life, as bad as you thought you ever were, Jesus forgave you for all those things. You know what's even greater? He forgives you not only for that, but he forgives you today. He forgives you for anything that you would do between now and death. It's already paid for. Jesus paid for it on the cross. And now that you are a disciple of Christ, God's word tells us to do something. I want to share four quick things with you about baptism. He tells us that we are to be baptized. The first thing is that it is a command of Christ. Pastor Daniel read just a moment ago, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is telling his disciples to go out and do this. So that's a great commission, but it's a great command for all those who want to be a follower of Christ to be baptized. We can't get around that. We truly follow Christ. The very first thing he says is to be baptized. Why? Because it reflects our commitment to Christ. It reflects our commitment. It's a public act to show others that we are really dedicated to Christ, that we're serious about that decision, that it's something that we just didn't mumble. It's not just words we say, but it's not just something that we hold on to, but it's something that we put out. Say, look, Lord, I'm your disciple, I'm a follower of yours, and I want everyone to know about it. It's a command. It's also a communion we have with God. Something about being baptized that we really understand that we are following what Jesus said for us to do, and that we have this communion with the Lord. The second reason we need to be baptized, not only is it a command of God, but also demonstrates obedience. It's an act of obedience on our part. See, the very first thing that Jesus wants us to do when we are saved, we're born again, we ask Christ into our life, we repented of our sins, is to be obedient. And the first step is baptism. Baptism doesn't happen before our profession of Christ. It's an act of obedience. All through Scripture, people are baptized. They hear the message, they place their faith in Jesus, then they're baptized. Some of you may say, well, you know, I was baptized as a baby in my particular denomination. And that could have been Methodist or Presbyterian or Lutheran or Catholic, whatever. Listen, we're not talking about that. We're talking about your profession of faith, as the Bible says. All through the New Testament, it's always been faith, obedience to baptism. You see, what your parents did for you as a baby was their commitment to Christ, to raise you to know about Jesus and about the church. That's not your commitment. It's their commitment. They're doing their part before God, similar to what we did baby dedication last week. It's them doing their part to say, I am committing to you, God, that I'll raise my child to know about Christ. But you see, there comes a point in everyone's life, that we get to this point, this crossroads to say yes or no to Jesus, that we become a disciple or not. We say yes to Jesus this morning. The natural flow is obedience, to follow Christ. In obedience, Jesus said, we read, baptize. To be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's an act of obedience. Is baptism necessary for salvation? Listen, if you profess Christ this morning and a bus ran over you out in front of the road and you didn't get baptized, you're going to heaven because your intent was to be. Follow Christ. Baptism is not necessary for salvation, but it is necessary. It's necessary to be obedient to Christ. There's no way you can say yes to Christ and then all of a sudden say no to everything else he wants to bring in your life. If he says the very first thing you need to do is be baptized, and you say, oh no, Lord, well, how is that following Christ then? So the second reason we need to be baptized is in obedience. The third reason is baptism identifies us with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism does this. It is a public demonstration. It is a public symbol to everyone out there that I've accepted what Jesus has done on the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection for my own. See, sin has to be paid for. People go to hell because of sin. That's the consequences of sin. When they reject Jesus, it means that, listen, I'm willing to pay for my sins myself. And if I'm willing to pay for my sins myself, I'll stand before God himself and I'll pay for them for eternity in a place called hell. But you see, we don't have to do that. Baptism helps us identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're saying this, that I'm telling you, church, that I'm embracing what Jesus Christ has already done, paying for my sins. I embrace that, and I claim it as my own because he did it for me. Scripture says it is his gift. I receive his gift of salvation. I'm identifying with that because Jesus is now my Lord. I give my life to him. I am his disciple. I've decided to take what Jesus has offered for myself. Now Jesus has paid for my sins. When I die and I stand before God, I am no longer guilty of the things that I've committed. Christ has already paid for it. I claim Christ, and when the Father looks at us, he sees his Son, not our sin. Identifies us with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And the fourth reason we need to be baptized is this. Baptism identifies you as a disciple, a member of his church. And in more particular, a member of the local church, whether it's this or one of the churches around. And baptism identifies you with that church. It identifies you. So others now who know that you've been baptized, seeing that you've been baptized, understand that now that's your mark, that you've, as a rite of passage, are now part of the church. You follow what Christ has said. You're acting in obedience to him. You're claiming what Christ has done on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection for yourself. And now I'm a part of the church. Baptism claims to everyone that's who we are. That's who we are. See, we can't get around it. Over the years that I've been here, I've led many to the Lord. Pastor Daniel's led many to the Lord. And there are a lot who say, yeah, I want salvation, but I'm not ready to be baptized. Listen, I encourage you. It is an act of obedience to Christ. See, if you're professing Christ and faith in Christ, then the natural flow of that is obedience. If you refuse to be obedient, and I know there may be some challenges out there, but there, the church has always faced challenges with family and with friends and with your social area. There's always challenges out there. But as a man or a woman of God, you today say, I want Jesus. I'm a follower of his. Regardless of what anyone else says. Because you see, the truth of the matter is, they won't stand before Jesus for you. You will stand before Jesus for you. My grandma won't stand before Jesus for me. My mama won't stand before Jesus for me. No one will. No one will say, oh, he's a good old boy, won't you just let him in? No. You see, it's me. I have to make that decision for myself. No one else can do that for me. I can't just say yes to Jesus and I want salvation and I want all the good stuff and not be a follower. I would be just like one of those that Pastor Daniel had mentioned. Jesus said the hard things to them and they walked away. So Jesus, for you, may be telling you a hard thing. He said, you need to be baptized. I'm commanding you to do that. And for you, you say, well, no. And basically what happens is you're one of those people who've walked away. You may go through the motions, but when Jesus gives us a command to do something and we tell him no, is he truly Lord of our life? Have we truly committed ourselves to him? Or will we honestly say, God, I want everything? And when we die, we stand before him face to face. We don't stand there in shame. We stand there knowing that he is our Lord. He is our Savior. We are in direct communication with him. He knows us by name. Knows everything about us. And we haven't run from any obligation that he's put upon us. We're standing there before the Father. And he says, welcome home, my child. Good and faithful servant. Maybe you're today. Maybe you've asked Christ, even in this service, to be your Savior. There's a follow-through for the rest of your life. The next step of that is baptism. That's your first act of obedience. Listen, the water is filled in the baptistry. Next service. You say, well, I didn't bring any clothes. Listen, we have t-shirts. We have shorts. We even have undergarments. Tell we're not thinking of everything. There's towels. We're prepared for you. Because when God has told you to do something, we want to make sure there's no obstacles and no excuses that you can come up with. Well, God, I was in church that day, and I just forgot my shorts at home. No. Pastor Kevin said he had some. Lord, I didn't have the undergarments. Nope, Pastor Kevin said they had some, and they're new. Fresh out of the pack. Just wanted to clarify that. If you've asked Christ to be your Savior, Pastor Daniel and I will be up here. We're going to close in just a moment. You can just come up and tell us, hey, I prayed that prayer with you, Pastor Daniel. I prayed that prayer, and I accept Christ as my Savior. And listen, can I go home real quick? I just want to grab a donut at Mikey's. I want to go, and I can come back for the next service? Absolutely. I'll be ready for baptism. Absolutely. Go get a friend and come back. Whatever. We're not that far away. I'll even pay the gas for you to come back if you need that. No excuses. This is the time, this is the day that God has established for you to save your soul and you take that step of baptism. Would you do it today? Let's pray together. Father God, today, God, we thank you for being so good to us. God, the message of salvation has been made clear and plain. The message and reason of baptism has been clear and plain, Father. We have no obstacles and no excuses in the way. Lord, I pray today that your people who've even professed you this morning would respond, say, I want to follow through. I know this is where God is leading me. I know I need salvation. I know I need to make this step. I need to make this commitment, regardless of what's going on in their life. Father, I pray that you give them that courage, give them that strength. Lord, we'll always be careful to love you and give you praise for it. Help us through this time, God. May your people have their eyes focused upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we stand to close, don't forget as you leave today, there's gentlemen at each